real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The government shutdown contributing to thousands of flight delays on Tuesday as air traffic controllers work without pay, some of them calling out sick. Other federal workers are simply not working at all and not drawing a paycheck.
Air traffic controllers are exempt from being furloughed during a shutdown, but some 750,000 federal workers are currently out of work. Now, President Trump suggesting not all federal workers on furlough are entitled to receive back pay once the government reopens, even though that is the law.
ABC's Victor Okendo. Six former surgeons general have penned a letter telling the public they have no faith in Health Secretary Robert Kennedy's vaccine policies. Attorney General Pam Bondi repeatedly deflecting questions during a Senate hearing that came on the heels of the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey amid questions about the politicization of the Justice Department. Nobel Prize in Chemistry was handed out today. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Democratic primary for the 6th congressional district in Wisconsin is over 10 months away. However, there are already 9 declared candidates. One of those candidates is Aaron Wojciechowski of Oshkosh, and he's no stranger to the political process. Wojciechowski, 28, is often referred to as Wojo. He made his first political run at the age of 19, serving on the Winnebago County Board of Supervisors, then on the Oshkosh Common Council. He said he wasn't going to run for office again, but caught the inspiration to do so during a No Kings rally earlier this year.
But in that moment, I thought, you know, if not me, then who? And if not now, when?
Wojciechowski says his major platform issue is affordability.
Everywhere you go, who you talk to, regardless of their politics, it's, you know, my rent has gotten higher, my electricity's gotten higher, groceries are still going up, gas is going up. Life is becoming too unaffordable for anyone in low-income, middle-class to afford.
A former teacher in the Oshkosh Area School District and current Assistant Director of Student Activities at Lawrence University, Wojciechowski says he will stand out from the 6 other Democratic candidates in the primary.
One of the things I've always led with is empathy, and I think we need more of that, less of this divisiveness, less of this name-calling and just, you know, fiery rhetoric that is leading to violence. We need someone who can kind of simmer people down, bring people together, and have these meaningful conversations.
The 7 Democrats running for the 6th congressional district will face off in a Democratic primary on August 11th. On the Republican side, incumbent Glenn Grothman faces a challenge from Jonathan Peets. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
Game 3, Brewers and Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. First pitch at 4:08 this afternoon. It'll be Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester's first career start in the postseason.
And yeah, man, I'm going to be fired up. I'm already starting to feel that anxious, that good nerves. And man, I'm fired up.
What's it like for the right-hander who just turned 25 years old? Manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Hey, Murph, with Quinn getting the start, just what's impressed you about his growth this entire season?
Yeah, how rapid it's been. This guy went from, you know, being a Triple-A pitcher for the last couple of years to emerging as a real presence, giving his team a chance very often. And just to see that happen right before your eyes, and it's pretty special. He's still a young pitcher.
NBA, ESPN.com again reporting the Bucks engaged in trade talks that could have sent Giannis to the Knicks. The Bucks say they've always kept in close contact with Giannis in the offseason. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high of 57 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping into the upper 30s to low 40s. Warmer by the lake. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
As the government remains shut down, what solutions are in sight, if any? And the political fallout in Wisconsin. We'll discuss it with Trigvi Olson, the Lincoln Project, and Pat Kraitlow. Next time, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Yeehaw.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kraitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, the guy who's a little worried about how much traffic he's going to have to go through on his way home.
I hate Dallas.
Founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kraitlow.
I will never make jokes about Illinois drivers again. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, October 8th, 2025. It surely is another beautiful morning up north, but even from here, live in Texas this week, we appreciate you joining us from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us on social media, listening by podcast. Just appreciate you getting your day started right here and started with the greeting and introduction from producer Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2, where, yes, as I get set to wrap up a few days in Dallas here, I will not miss the traffic one bit. Not one. Texas, I mean, the Illinois driver thing, you know, they occasionally will make a jerk move. You know, that's the main thing. They'll speed past you, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Here, every intersection, you take your life into your own hands. You never know who is going to come barreling through at any given point. I mean, the lights and signs mean nothing down here. It is just absolutely crazy.
That shouldn't surprise me, to be honest. I don't know why that surprises me for Texas.
Well, because keep in mind that yesterday or the day before, I was raving about the highway system itself.
That's true.
Again, because there's a lot of land here. You can make the highways very wide. You can have the express lanes. There's all these extra ramps and bridges and all that. But I think that's great when it's not rush hour. Yeah. I've now had to make a couple of different runs out to the airport to take, you know, our younger daughter back so she could fly back home, and then to take, you know, some our other grandkids so they could fly off, and then we're flying out tomorrow. And I'm telling you, you can't pave your way to easy traffic around that Dallas-Fort Worth airport. It's just not possible, but it is what it is. We still managed to have a good time. Our daughter that lives here took us to the Fort Worth Stockyards yesterday.
Oh yeah,
is a must. You get to see all the Longhorn cattle being, you know, marched down the cobblestone streets of what used to be a very bustling, you know, meatpacking area, but now lots of touristy shops and things like that, and yes, Parker, just for you, I did take photos of the chaps that were on sale.
Did you buy any?
No, I did not buy any. I have no need. No need.
No need.
Nor for any cowboy hats or arrowheads or lassos or you name. I mean, look, there's tourist traps everywhere.
Yeah.
Texas is no exception.
Well, yeah. So my brother learned how to lasso in high school.
For what practical purpose, dare I ask?
He was in a musical. He was doing Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, musical theater, then that's fine. I mean, it wasn't like he was looking for a prom date or something. I pick you.
No, certainly okay. Not.
Good, good. That's a nice development then. So anyway, all going well. It'll be nice to get home, that's for sure. Where things continue to be busy. It's a busy season back home with all kinds of political notes. And so I've got a question for you. Did you assume that Josh Call was basically going to waltz right into the governor's race? Because you can't be blamed if that's what you thought. It was, after all, that's the Tony Evers path to the governor's office. But Josh Call is going to run instead for a third term as state attorney general. And we're going to talk more about that in just about 10 minutes or so. And we're going to do a little compare and contrast of Wisconsin's attorney general versus the United States attorney general, Pam Bondi, and the reality trash TV worthy performance that she gave yesterday when testifying before Congress. So we'll have that discussion coming up. Also later in the show, we're going to be talking to Chuck Collins, who is from the Patriotic Millionaires Group. And he has this book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and the Planet. He is one of the grandsons of Oscar Mayer. So he knows a thing or two about family fortunes and how wealth is first collected, but then protected, and then you pursue political power, and then you actually take that power and extract more wealth out of the middle class. All the stuff that happened during the Gilded Age, which is happening again right now. And so Chuck Collins talks about how do you fight that? And it's not a matter of going after the billionaires themselves, although that they make a tempting target, but it is the system. And you have to elect people that pledge to fix the system and make it work better for everybody and not just for their biggest and best campaign donors. We're also going to be talking in our homeroom segment. This is basically our one Texas segment while I'm down here, is talking to an official who works with a group that supports public schools and the ongoing battles that they face because of support for taxpayer-funded vouchers for private schools. And she works especially with Texas schools, but can tell us that from Texas and other states, what lessons can we learn in Wisconsin? Because we've got a voucher system that is already approaching the $1 billion a year price tag. And what can we do before this beast becomes an absolute taxpayer catastrophe? So that's coming up at 7:35 in our homeroom segment. We're going to talk to Ellie Bardot, our new newsletter editor here at Up North News. And of course, it's Wednesday, so we've got all kinds of regular friends. Earl Ingram about his podcast, Melissa Baldoff talking about climate, Jimmy Cuska talking about sports. If you can't stick around for all of it, you should get us as a podcast as well. And that way you can listen on demand. Head over to Spotify and follow the program. Follow all of the civic media shows. You can do it at Apple as well or wherever you get your podcast. And take us along. Another way to follow what we do on all of these shows across civic media is to get the Civic Media Daily Newsletter, Civic Media Today. That's on Substack. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com for more. From a sports standpoint, we've got the Brewers playing the Cubs a little later on this afternoon in the National League Division Series, Game 3, hopefully going for a sweep as the series moves to Wrigley Field. But let's start with the games from last night, because one of them, Parker, was especially exciting, where the Yankees were facing elimination, and they were down early in their game to the Toronto Blue Jays, 6-1. And they managed to come all the way back thanks to, I think you've heard of this guy, Aaron Judge. He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Kid, a game-tying homer. He drove in 4 runs overall in a clutch performance for the ages, they're saying, as the Yankees staved off elimination, rallying from being down 6-1 to beat the Toronto Blue Jays 9-6 in Game 3. It was the Yankees' largest comeback ever in an elimination game, which is saying something given the storied history of that franchise. They will do it again tonight at Yankee Stadium. In the other American League Division Series, Game 3, the Seattle Mariners beat the Detroit Tigers 8-4 last night. So Seattle's up 2-1 on Detroit. So we've got the full load of Division Series games today, including the Brewers going for that three-game sweep against the Cubs as the series moves to Wrigley Field for today's start. It is a 4:08 start, which means that pregame coverage begins on stations of the Civic Media Radio Network starting at 3:30 this afternoon. Again, pregame 3:30 for Brewers versus Cubs. If the Brewers don't win this afternoon, then game four will be at Wrigley Field tomorrow. So again, that full slate of games, it's Seattle-Detroit at 2, Brewers-Cubs at 4, Blue Jays-Yankees at 6, and then Phillies-Dodgers at 8, where the Dodgers are up 2 games to love over Philadelphia as well. So we've got a very busy week for baseball here. At some point, we'll talk about the Packers again, but I'm a baseball guy.
This is the best postseason baseball
whenever we can.
This is the best time of year for sports because you get MLB postseason, you get NFL, you get all the college football. It's a great time. And plus, like, people like Dan Schaefer are really excited about Bucks preseason.
Yes, he is. We talked about that yesterday in our 8:30 half hour, how excited Dan is for the Bucks to get going as compared to those of us who pay attention to the NBA sometime after March Madness is all done. Since, you know, the NBA postseason now stretches into half of summer, it feels like. But you got to start the season sometime, and it's going to be starting here real soon. And then, of course, like you mentioned, there's college football as well. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa. They will play a late game on Saturday. Pre-game coverage begins at 4 o'clock on several Civic Media stations. What else have we got? Oh, Dan, we talked about Dan. I should plug his newsletter as well. He has the Recombobulation Area. The recombobulationarea.news is where you sign up. And of course, he contributes to the aforementioned Civic Media Today newsletter that you can get over at Substack. So have you altered your plans for today so that, you know, when you've got the Brewers Cubs playing at 4 o'clock, that you can clear the decks and pay attention to things?
Well, frankly, my biggest worry during that time period is me being asleep, because that's a pretty prime nap time for me. So
it's funny. I have never heard somebody in their early 20s talk so much about nap time until Parker got this early morning gig and talks about it that way. But you know, I'm glad you protect the napdom. I like that.
You need to. It's believe me, Pat, I need to.
Oh yeah, no, I'm hoping to get a little downtime as well, because I am definitely getting into that travel. What do you call it? Heartburn phase, where when you're traveling, and don't get me wrong, travel's great, but at some point you realize you're pretty much all the time eating out at some place.
Sure.
You know, yesterday when the show got done, my daughter's like, oh, there's a great bagel shop. So we got those great, you know, bagel sandwiches. And then we're at the Stockyards for lunch. Well, you got to have barbecue. So of course there's a big old plate of brisket and ribs to work on. And then later it was, you know, well, should we make a little something here? No, there's a really cool restaurant, you know, down the road. Let's go try that out. So of course, somewhere in the middle of the night, it occurs to me, I haven't had just a simple, basic home cooked meal in a while, and today better be that day for it. Because there's nothing else. There's room for this cup of coffee around everything else, and then that's going to do it. And then a little bit of downtime for the Brewers game.
That's fair. Yeah, and it kind of sucks too because you don't have your own bed to go to, really.
No. And again, you know, travel's great, but at some point you go, oh, these are not my pillows. This is not my mattress. And you learn to appreciate it so much more when you get back to it. And especially in a place like Texas, where again, it was 90 yesterday, you know, outside. You'd get into your car in the parking lot and it would be 212 degrees.
Yeah, you know, burn your butt inside the car. Seat.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Still a little toasty down here. But again, I will have all winter to think about this and say, I appreciate seasons, even the winter ones, more so than, you know, eternal heat. Eternal heat's kind of overrated, having lived on an island for 3 years. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for jeans and hoodies. Yeah, you know,
variety's good. I'm a big winter guy. I like it.
Yeah. So bring that on. I'll be ready to go back to the hoodies. And I think we've seen the last of the 80s, you know, or at least the upper 80s in Wisconsin. So you know, it's fall, it's Packer time. We just got to get the Brewers a little deeper into the postseason as well. Well, coming up in a moment, as I said, we've got Attorney General Josh Call deciding not to run for governor, which kind of goofed up our question of the week in the newsletter. But we'll talk more about that and about the embarrassment of the U.S. Attorney General on Capitol Hill yesterday. Thanks for joining us here on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Dallas. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Do you or someone you know have disabilities but are challenged finding resources and guidance? Focus on Freedom provides support for children and adults with diverse abilities with a variety of customized services such as one-to-one supports for individuals like daily living skills and training, along with personalized caregiver supports like foundations and caregiving seminars. Focus on Freedom empowers individuals to reach their goals and live as independently as possible, serving residents throughout Winnebago, Outagamie, and Fond du Lac counties. Find us at focusonfreedom.org, empowering independence, transforming lives.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Imagine if you could obliterate all the mental blocks that hold you back. Too good to be true, right? David and Gina of Workwell Hypnosis help their clients leave bad habits, self-doubt, and internal turmoil behind. They cover a large number of common issues: smoking, overeating, work-life balance, low self-esteem, virtually anything holding you back. Workwell Hypnosis can unlock a better version of you. Transform your mind and your life. Get to workwellhypnosis.com to schedule a quick, easy call to learn more. Your future looks incredible.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So, as I mentioned, Josh Call has a lot of things to think about as state attorney general. I don't think he was thinking about messing up our question of the week, but he did. I'm sure he didn't mean to, but by announcing yesterday that he is not going to run for governor, it kind of messed up our first way too early poll for governor for Wisconsin for 2026. It was part of our Sunday morning newsletter, originally and creatively titled Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of our homepage. And yeah, this past Sunday, we said, well, here are the people who have said they're running for governor. We're also going to throw in Attorney General Josh Call because he might run. And we'll throw in former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes because he might run yet. And then everybody who has announced, what do you think? And we did get some responses from people who said that Josh Call would be their first choice for governor. They really like what he has done as attorney general, trying to keep the Trump administration accountable, you know, fighting for consumer protection and all of the things that a good state attorney general does. Well, those folks aren't going to get to vote for Josh Call at this point. Mandela Barnes has now said that he is seriously considering getting into the race for governor, but it is not official yet. But we've also been receiving a lot of replies from people who, like all of the other candidates who are running, everybody from beer vendor Ryan Sternad to, you know, members of the legislature and non-politicians alike, And so again, to be the first to see our question of the week on Sunday mornings, sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. So getting back to Josh Call's announcement yesterday that he's going to run instead for a third term as Attorney General, he told Wisconsin Public Radio, quote, "This is such an important time for the role of attorneys general around the country. I think it's a pivotal time for the country, and I think some of our most basic rights are under threat." WPR notes that Call has signed on to several dozen multi-state lawsuits against the Trump administration. Those have targeted different cuts to federal funds and grants, access to personal data, the firings of federal workers, Trump's attempt to block birthright citizenship, among other policies as well. Now, speculation about Josh Call running for governor someday even predated Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term next year, because Josh Call would have been on the Tony Evers track for governor, having won multiple statewide elections already. But ultimately, Call decided to stay put, and that leaves more than a half dozen other Democrats now seeking the governor's post. And all of them, you know, good candidates in their own way for governor. And then Josh Call hoping to continue the good service that he has provided to the people of the state of Wisconsin. And that's the difference between having an attorney general who's driven by mission to the rule of law and one who is instead just engaged in theater. And that takes us to Pam Bondi, the corrupt Florida attorney general turned to corrupt U.S. attorney general, turned a congressional inquiry about abuse at the Justice Department into the usual Trump-worthy responses worthy of the trash TV that this administration truly represents. Bondi refused to answer questions and instead hurled juvenile insults, making clear she has no business being the top law enforcement official of the United States of America. Her ongoing audition to please Donald Trump is just embarrassing and now borders on the criminally contempt. Of course, there's something Pam Bondi knows a thing or two about, and that is, you know, being borderline criminally contempt. She first came on the scene 12 years ago when her Florida Attorney General's office declined to assist in the investigation of widespread fraud committed by Trump University. It was then discovered that a political group supporting Bondi had received a $25,000 political contribution from the Trump Foundation. One problem: foundations cannot make political contributions. Eventually, Trump would shut down the fraudulent Trump Foundation and the fraudulent Trump University. In return, he got a fraudulent lackey who would later serve as United States Attorney General. So yesterday's behavior was not really news. On the release of files related to sexual predator and former Trump friend Jeffrey Epstein, despite saying earlier this year that the Epstein client list was sitting on her desk for review, Bondi said yesterday she actually had yet to review the documents. On the legal justification for a president to send military troops into the streets of American cities instead of protecting our country from outside enemies, Bondi resorted to legal arguments best described as, "I know you are, but what am I?" And then there's Trump's so-called border czar, Tom Homan, who was recorded last year accepting what appears to be a bribe of $50,000 in cash. Not only has the investigation apparently been dropped, but when she was asked yesterday if taxpayers got the bribe money back from Homan, Bondi wouldn't say. Again, acting more like a mouthpiece for her boss rather than the person most responsible for ensuring that there is equal treatment under the law. Now, did any Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee take Bondi to task for choosing drama over substance and failure to answer these important questions about the politicization of the U.S. Department of Justice? Of course not. They were joining in on some other weighty matters like Hunter Biden and the 2020 election. You know, two of the issues at the heart of Donald Trump's two impeachments, where Republicans chose politics over law and democracy. I could go on and on, but the point is that in looking at Josh Call and Pam Bondi yesterday, we know what a good attorney general looks like, and we know what a stooge looks like. And expecting justice from the current U.S. Department of Justice is just something that's not in the cards. Coming up next, today's history lesson, we'll start off with a little Cool in the Gang by Cool himself. That's coming up after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Governor Tony Evers says he will consider taking executive action to address the impacts of the federal government shutdown if needed. According to a WisPolitics report, Governor Evers told reporters that he'd specifically consider taking executive action to address issues with health care that arise amid the shutdown. He made those comments during a visit to Brown Deer last week. He referred to using state resources to keep Wisconsinites healthy as low-hanging fruit and argued that extending the Affordable Care Act tax credits shouldn't be a big thing for Republicans to accept. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning residents of a new scam targeting SNAP recipients. According to agency officials, the scammers are impersonating the EBT Edge mobile app, which helps residents navigate their SNAP food assistance benefits. The scammers use the fake version of the app to charge their victims $5 every week or $60 for lifetime access. Agency officials are reminding residents that they will never need to pay to use their official EBT Edge app to track their SNAP benefits. An 18-year-old Larson man faces homicide charges after a fiery crash in Appleton Saturday. Police say Carter Green was driving over 100 miles per hour and was under the influence of alcohol when he ran a red light and hit another car. The driver of the other car died from his injuries. A passenger was also seriously injured. Green and his passenger only sustained mild injuries. Green was booked into the Outagamie County Jail on suspicion of first-degree reckless homicide and OWI causing injury. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Most movies have a climax. When it comes to When Harry Met Sally, there were actually two climaxes in the film, one of which was iconic and still talked about today. Rob Reiner was the director of the film and recently referenced the scene where Meg Ryan pretended to have the big O in the middle of a deli while sitting opposite Billy Crystal. The director says it was very awkward directing the scene in front of his mother. You might be asking, why did he invite her to the set that particular day? It's because Estelle Reiner is the woman who leans over and says, I'll have what she's having. Couldn't have been that awkward. Despite getting good reviews in his new film, The Smashing Machine, Dwayne The Rock Johnson says he feels bad. The film did not perform well at the box office, but Johnson still says he is grateful for those who went to see it. I'm curious to see his performance because critics say he was really good. Just a bit of advice, though, if you want to be taken seriously as an actor, maybe ditch the Rock part of your wrestling moniker. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high of 57 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping into the upper 30s to low 40s. Warmer by the lake. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Emily Cherniak, founder and executive director of New Politics, an organization designed to help build the Democratic pipeline of candidates who are truly ready to lead.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Feels like a Yacht Rock kind of day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't play a little Cool in the Gang without going, who is Cool from Cool in the Gang? To which Robert Bell says, I'm cool. Robert Cool Bell turns 75 years old today.
He said, I'm just me.
It's me. I mean, I don't know if he gave himself the name Cool or somebody else did, but he's cool. And he's got a gang. So cool. Cool in the Gang.
Yeah. You know.
And all of their many hits.
The whole... I'm glad you said Yacht Rock, because that reminded me of the... did you hear about the little Craig Council hates Yacht Rock?
Like, no.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So the Brewers, on the day before the series started, so I think on Friday last week, the Cubs were taking BP in the stadium, and the Brewers were playing kind of slow songs like Yacht Rock.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Yes.
Turns out, apparently, that was because Craig Council, very vocally, which is a weird thing to do, hates Yacht Rock.
So that's why I didn't know why they were playing Yacht Rock for the Cubs BP, but it turns out he expressed a strong dislike for Yacht Rock.
Yeah, which is kind of a weird thing to be vocal about.
Yeah, so for those of you going, you know, Pat, you're so hard on Craig Council all the time. I mean, he's a Milwaukee product. He's a beloved son of the city. And he did such great things for the Brewers. Now you're mad because he went to play for the Cubs. Yeah, now this.
This is the last straw.
This is my line in the sand with the Yacht Rock. So that's it, Craig Council. We're done.
Wow.
Okay, we were already done ahead of time. All right, this is not a... happy day in history. On this day in 1871 was the Great Chicago Fire. It was also the Great Peshtigo Fire. It was also the Great Michigan Fire. None of them all knew at the time that this was going on, but they had all ignited this day in 1871, exacerbated by months of drought, years of slash and burn forest practices, and then a strong weather front that blew embers for miles and miles. So a very deadly, very serious day in all of those locations, from Chicago up to Northeast Wisconsin, up to the UP, this day in 1871. Let's get a little closer to the present time. Let's take you as far as 1982, where Culture Club released their debut album, Kissing to Be Clever. Kissing to Be Clever included their Time Clock of the Heart and Do You Really Want to Hurt Me and I'll Tumble For You. It was basically, you know, Boy George and Company unleashing a wave of acts from the UK that populated early MTV. You had groups like Duran Duran, Tears for Fears, The Human League, Eurythmics, and more. You know, basically it's when our generation looked back at, say, the 70s with polyester leisure suits and the 60s with the mini skirts, and we thought, oh, well, we live in the normal time. And now we look back at that time, Boy
what
George,
the hell?
All the other bands of early MTV, and we're like, no, everybody becomes dated at this point, you know?
What do you think is going to stand out from today's style that people are going to go, really?
See, that's always the big question, is you don't know at the time. Then you look back at, you know, whether it's, we look back now at pages from the Sears catalog, you know, and we look at the styles there and we just kind of wince. And I don't know what it'll be. And the thing is, it's not that the style was right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that it changes. And so you look back at something so different.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's clearly dated. Well, no, it's just what was normal then.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. Later in the decade of the 80s, you went from the British MTV groups, you know, that were like overdressed. You went to hair bands like Def Leppard, and they had the number one song this day in 1988. So Def Leppard's Love Bites was one of the many hair band ballads that charted, such as Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison, Whitesnake's What Is This Love? There was Always by Bon Jovi, and of course, the worst of them all, Sister Christian by Night Ranger. But in each case, all of these bands learned that while it was fun to rock out, it was also very lucrative to slow things down now and then. And it's funny how many stories I've seen of bands that they started making money when they did these ballads and slow songs and love songs, and the band member was like, dude, we're here to rock out. And, you know, then their manager would show them the royalty check for the slow stuff. They'd be like, okay.
Yeah, okay, we can do that.
Uh-huh.
On
Facebook.
Oh, boy.
The comment section from Roger.
Oh.
Roger writes,
oh, that's
did okay. You hear Boy George's pet lizard bit three people? Authorities have warned him he needs a calmer chameleon. I'm laughing because Parker has no idea why that's so funny. So I will teach him the song Karma Chameleon in the break. I promise.
Oh, boy.
But for those of us of a certain age, that was a good one there, Roger. Thank you very much. On this day in 1948, John Cummings was born in Long Island, a founding member of the Ramones. He became Johnny Ramone and passed away in 2004. On this day in 1965, C.J. Ramone, the bassist and occasional vocalist, was born Christopher Joseph Ward in Queens, New York City. On this day in 1980, Talking Heads released their fourth album, Remain in Light, including this hit.
And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife.
Letting the days go by, let the water.
Yes, that was 45 years ago that Talking Heads released Remain in Light. On this day in 1956, the New York Yankees' Don Larsen pitched the only perfect game in a World Series. And, you know, just great video of catcher Yogi Berra jumping up into his arms at the end of the game. And, again, there's been one postseason no-hitter since then, but no perfect game. On this day in 1982, after its London premiere, Cats opened on Broadway and ran for nearly 18 years before closing in September of 2000. Is that anywhere in your, ever saw it or a group that performed it or anything like that? Because I'm not. I've never seen Cats.
I am very aware of Cats. I have not seen Cats, though.
Okay. Let's see. More birthdays. Oh, several birthdays here today. Let's start with Bruno Mars. Happy birthday to Bruno. He is 40 years old today.
What?
Well, that's how these things work. You know, you're an overnight sensation at a ripe old age after you've been paying your dues for years and years. But
yeah,
I mean, this song itself now is going back, what, almost 10 years, right? Locked Out of Heaven?
I don't know how old this.
We'll look into that. Chevy Chase is 82 years old today. Actress Sigourney Weaver is 76 today. Actor Matt Damon is... Oh, we don't have time for Matt Damon. I'm sorry.
Oh.
No, he's... Jimmy Kimmel will tell you he's 55 years old today. And here's another one of those that'll make you feel a little bit older. Angus T. Jones. Little Jake from Two and a Half Men is 32 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
30, yeah. See? Yeah, that'll do it to you.
Yeah.
All right. On this day in 1983, I'm going to tell you about the number one and number two songs on the chart. The number two song was Making Love Out of Nothing at All by Air Supply. And the number one song, Total Eclipse of the Heart was from Bonnie Tyler.
Now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the heart.
Now again, those songs, Total Eclipse of the Heart and Making Love Out of Nothing at All, those are classic Jim Steinman songs. The late Jimmy Steinman had all these songs with massive length and production value, and he did all of the, you know, the Bat Out of Hell stuff from Meatloaf, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. He's done all kind, you know, if you saw the list of songs, it's just classic Jim Steinman. It turns out that on this day in 1983, when those two songs were number one and two on the chart, he became the first solo writer and producer to hold the top two spots in the Billboard Hot 100. Now, out of sheer coincidence, Parker, last night, watching with my daughter, watching some TV, and she says, "Have you ever watched a show called Zillow Gone Wild?" And I said, "No. I know Zillow, the app for, you know, real estate, and I've heard of something called Zillow Gone Wild, which I'm sure shows off some wacky houses."
Sure.
And so she put it on, and wouldn't you know, right there was the house that belonged to the late Jim Steinman.
Oh, wow.
That was up for sale, and it clearly qualified for the show. It's
a little wacky.
It's unusual. Yes, a lot of interesting art, designer clothing. All kinds of instruments around. I believe one of the hallways, the walls weren't painted. They were all leather, for example.
Oh.
It was just, there were so many interesting art objects that were in there.
Yeah.
All for a mansion that was listed at $4 million.
Cool.
And by the way, $4 million in this massive house with all these funky rooms, two bedrooms. The man did not want to entertain overnight guests. You can come visit. We can have a party here. And now it's time for you to go home. But that makes it a little tougher to sell, you know? I mean, because somebody's going to have to create bedrooms out of some of these other more eclectic rooms.
Yeah,
I guess,
that's interesting. Was he just getting out of the house?
I don't know. He's been passed away for a couple of years now.
Okay.
So I assume he was still living in it at the time.
I like the idea that they preserved it like that. And one wants to tackle that beast. They just keep it that way.
Well, the listing agent said, you know, we want it this way because we want somebody to kind of protect a lot of what he put into it. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think somebody will pay top dollar for it and then pay top dollar for, you know, the wrecking crew to come in and make it their own, which they'll have an easier time doing that than they will the other house that they featured in this episode. The Old Shoe. Yes, it was a house built in the shape of a big old shoe, like, you know, like the
Little Miss Puckett, is that her name?
There once an old woman who lived in a shoe, so many children, she didn't know what to do. So more like a boot.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So it's a big white, like, boot for a house that you could live in. Somebody builds this for themselves. This whole show is people who build these things for themselves, and then somebody at some point goes, you know, you're going to have to sell this. You have to hope somebody wants this thing. And
yeah, but I'll die first and it won't be my problem.
That's just it. See, it won't be my problem then. You just go with what you enjoy. And that's how, you know, your Zillow Gone Wild and your HGTV and all these things. I'm sure they have to pay a little bit for the rights to tell the story, which is fine because they may not be getting income from any other source anytime soon. They got to pay the property taxes and everything else while they hope somebody comes along and wants a house shaped like a shoe. So
there you go.
Good luck to those folks. when we come back, we're going to talk a bit about some of the top stories that we're following at Up North News. And in our next hour, we will be talking about ongoing threats to public schools through the burgeoning, shall we say, voucher program that is approaching a $1 billion price tag here in Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
We all know it's soup season, so grab yourself a bowl of chili for a great cause. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411. Here to tell you that Sunday, October 12th, starting at 1 p.m., head to Sturgeon Spirits for their first annual chili cook-off, where all proceeds are donated to the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. If you want to be a participant, then you need to email Megan. And if you want to be a taster, it's just $5 at the door. Head to WISS.FM, click events to learn more.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS News. And today on Valley Focus, I'm joined by Karen Schneider of the Oshkosh Herald because it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday and it's cooler. It feels like fall.
I know, right? After that really warm weekend we had. And by really warm, I mean.
It was warm. Yeah.
It was warm.
Summertime warm.
And I went out a couple of times and went, no.
I was out at Winnicani Fall Fest with the sun shining in our booth. So.
Oh, wow. That had, oh, yeah. Nothing is worse than when the sun's shining directly on your booth.
It's so warm.
So Karen, today the Herald comes out. So what do we expect to see in it?
We have some great stories in there. And one of them touches back on the council meeting from the last council meeting and the new townhouse project that they just approved. Went through the plan commission, went before council. And this is very cool because this is an infill lot. These are, I believe, 19 lots from that the RDA has acquired throughout the years. And now there is a developer who took a look at this and came up with a proposal to put housing on there.
Okay.
So there's townhomes, there's going to be some multifamily in there, but it's between 8th and 9th Avenue in the 100 block. So just a couple blocks from you here that we'll start seeing those empty lots grow and have families moving into there. But the really cool thing is if you look at the 19 lots, it's like a checkerboard and they're all vacant and they've acquired these. There's still homes in there. So this development is going to be built around those homes. So those homes will become part of a neighborhood versus kind of sitting there by their lonesome. And there's a rendering that they shared, and it's in today's paper as well. But it's very cool, and it shows how, you know, it's a lot of patience, right, to acquire 19 of these parcels. But now you're going to get them off of the city, and they're going to be on the tax rolls. So it's very cool. It's bringing in, 24 units that the Redevelopment Authority has worked on. So take a look at that. It's on page one and has a dump, but it's very cool, and it talks about collaboration, finding that right developer, and being open-minded to what can fit in the space.
Right.
You know, because if you just look at it, you're kind of like, I don't know. You know, and if you drive around, a lot of times you'll see the signs that the city has this lot for sale or whatever. And usually they're blighted or they're odd shaped. And I just watched the last plan RDA meeting where someone just purchased a home and is acquiring the RDA lot next door to it to put a garage on. And otherwise that lot would just sit empty because you can't put a house or anything on it. So they're acquiring these and putting those empty lots back on the tax rolls. A lot of patience, a lot of things come together after years, but here you have more housing going in on the south side. And it's filling in those blighted spots and building it up. And the nice thing here, also, for skeptics out there, because we hear this a lot, right? They're going to be standard rate townhomes, and they're not restricted by Section 8 housing. So, you know, we hear that a lot about a lot of the projects that have been coming in and stuff too. But these are going to be standard market rate townhomes. So that's exciting to see those coming in and filling that spot too.
It is very exciting because when you talk about housing and how housing is desperately needed throughout all the areas, but you're not just talking about low-income housing. You're also talking about working housing and
the continuum,
the whole continuum of, you know, because when you get more low-income housing, well, then those, where do the next level go? And then the next level and the next level. So you have to have housing across a continuum. And I just hit my mic.
No, absolutely. And that, I think, gets lost in a lot of the conversations where, you know, you have the Mill on Main or the Merge or even the Red Earth ones coming in, right? And people are like, you know, $1,800 a month, who do they think is going to live there? Well, someone is going to live there, you know, and as I heard a phrase this morning, the silver stallions or something like that, you know, all of us boomers, right? We're getting up there. We're going to be moving out. And part of that also is boomers relinquishing their homes, moving into something that they don't have to spend all their free time maintaining. They mm-hmm. have the ability to go out and do things they enjoy, allowing younger families to, again, move into those homes and create those lasting memories for them and start it all over again.
Exactly.
But those young families probably lived in an apartment, you know, before they got together and combined incomes and bought that home because, let's face it, in today's housing market, you almost have to have those two incomes to do that. But
yeah.
So, you know, it's the cycle of life or the continuum of housing, but we need housing available at every level. And we don't want to hear from employers and so forth that I had a candidate, they couldn't find housing, so I lost them. We want those people to be able to find housing here in the Oshkosh area to come in, fill those skilled jobs that, you know, if you're reading the data, that those are the ones that are still vacant. Bring those people in with that skill set and that income, and keep them here locally so that we're not only investing in them, but they're investing in our community as well.
And that's the absolute truth, because I can remember turning down a job, getting the job offer, turning down the offer simply because when I went to look to find a place to live, I could not find anything.
I can speak to my printer who's in Shawano, who bought an apartment complex because he needed printers and pressmen, and they had no housing in the area. So he was able to get people to accept his job offers by offering them housing to go with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't believe we've taken up all of our conversation time on
but
this one
story. But it's a good topic.
But it's a great story. And it can be found in the Oshkosh Herald today. Where can we pick that up or find it?
So you can find it at Quick Trips, the grocery stores around town, Festival, Piggly Wiggly, or at OshkoshHerald.com.
Karen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former FBI Director James Comey heads to federal court today under the direction from President Trump's newly installed federal prosecutor in Virginia.
Ahead of Comey's arraignment, the Department of Justice has added two assistant U.S. attorneys from out of state to work on the case. An FBI agent was reportedly relieved of duty after refusing to help stage a public arrest of Comey, though FBI Director Kash Patel called those reports false.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio in Washington. Day 8 of the government shutdown. It's having an effect on the nation's airports. Air traffic controllers are working without pay. Thousands of flights delays yesterday. National Guard troops now positioned outside Chicago, and they could be in Memphis on Friday as the Trump administration pushes ahead with policies against American cities run by Democrats. Israel and Hamas entering the third day of peace talks in Egypt, with more senior officials from the United States now taking part. All sides have been expressing optimism for a deal to end the war. This is ABC News.